10th GM, the show presents Talking Nerdy December podcast.
A lighter edition where we're just mainly going to talk about the Doctor, who made his debut on Disney Plus. But if you want to watch the previous stuff, you got to go to Max.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Like, it is kind of confusing and it's messy. And that's what I was actually going to ask you, like, okay, where do I go to get caught up? Because I haven't finished with the 13th Doctor?
Yeah,
13th. No. Jodie Whittaker, right? I love her Doctor. So many of her episodes are, like, in my heart. Like, Rosa Parks, I love that one. Tesla one, that one is also in my heart for forever.
There's so many good episodes, but just...
The overall
stories are just so weak that it just doesn't help.
But I love the actor, I love the character, I love the characters. It's like the stories aren't as solid. But what did you think of the Doctor Who special with the 14th Doctor? And there's three of them, right?
Yeah, there's three specials. They were all really good. The first one really had to, like, tackle the one thing. Donna.
Yeah.
And they did some really good twists on there on why Donna was able to not die.
Right.
Remembering the Doctor. Mm-hmm. And it was really cool to kind of explore her life more. And then, of course, the character you want to see, of course, you don't get to see yet, the grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you watch the previous Doctor Who, besides Donna, that's who the Tennant Doctor really has a connection to, is the grandfather.
Right.
And he even asks about him immediately, because that's, I would say, one of his best buddies.
Mm-hmm.
Easiest way to put it. But they did some really cool things with this first episode, and it was fun. And then the way they caused the second episode to happen was really fun too.
Yeah, that episode, man, I love the way that they're able to just write. It's almost like horror, but not like, it's more thriller and like it's more tense than it is like scary. But man, it's so intense. Like, my kids, because it is PG, and I checked.
Yeah.
And the kids were into it. They were into it, right? Like, especially, like, you have that creepy, you always, like, cute at first and then went creepy, you know? And then the second one, there's that, like, the cute robot, you know, that's going all slow. But it's also really tense and also kind of creepy, so. And then even the third one was like that as well.
Yeah. It's good to have Russell T. Davies back.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually the one who wrote, like, the 9th and 10th Doctor.
Okay.
So he's the one that personally wrote these ones. He's going to be a showrunner of the newer seasons.
Oh, yes.
So it was a really good choice. And then, of course, rumors of the 9th Doctor coming back. The 10th Doctor coming back seemed a little silly.
Mm-hmm.
But then... it happened.
Well, I follow their stuff, right? Like, for us, and so I saw these things, but I was like, in my mind, I was like, how are they going to make this work? And it made sense. So he is 10. Is 10 isn't back as 10. 10 is back as 14.
Yeah. It's interesting. So there's different type of... there's different, like, type of regenerations of... done really weird ones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the other really weird one to mention is probably the second to the third Doctor, because the second to the third Doctor was a regeneration that was forced by the Time Lords, and this regeneration here was forced by someone as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what caused it to be so different, which I think is part of why the regeneration at the end happened the way it did.
Okay.
Because it's someone was messing around with the regeneration process, and that probably took into effect what happened here.
Okay. And see, that's why I love talking to you about this stuff, because honestly, when I saw the episode, the third episode, I was like, the bi-unification, right? That's what they call it?
Bi-regeneration.
And I was like, this is dumb. Like, this, it doesn't make sense to me. To me, it just seems so dumb. Like, when you explain it, I go, that makes more sense. But even having two that exist simultaneously, and it's like, oh, this one's just going to rest, and this one's going to go do their thing that the doctor's always done. And, like, this one's, like, even has their... Like, to me, it doesn't make sense to also duplicate the TARDIS, because you go, like, now they can't just be, right? Like, now they can still... So are they both going to exist? And that's... That's what I wonder about this new season going forward. Like, is he back? Is he? Are they going to have both? Is it going to go back and forth? Like, it's just really confusing and intriguing to me.
I think they're going to mostly just focus on the new Doctor, the 15th. But if they ever want to do team-ups, makes it really easy to do. And I think they mostly chose Tennant because he's the easiest one out of the previous ones to get back.
Okay.
Because really, the only ones you can really get back is Tennant and Capaldi if you give him a good writing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was kind of sad that he didn't get, like, he was great, but he too, like, also didn't have a lot of great writing as well. So that was kind of a bummer, but I liked him. So, but yeah, so I personally think, like, even if you don't know Doctor Who, because I haven't watched it in a long time, so I felt like just jumping in, and obviously for the kids, they were interested, right? My kids are almost 2 and almost 4, so, and it was really easy for them to get into it. My wife's not really into it. She was like, we don't want to watch this, so I, you know, waited until she was gone, and we watched together, but... Yeah, they enjoyed it, and I've talked to other people, and I think this would be a great time to jump on.
Yeah, it's a good jumping on point. That was kind of what they were saying, was since they're moving to Disney Plus, they needed to make it be something that can be jumped on to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it wasn't too heavy. There's not a lot that you need to know in the past. Like, obviously, if you have, you're like, yes, I love seeing Donna again. I love seeing the grandfather again. That was such a great
movie. Or the other surprise appearance in the third episode, where they had a previous companion show up as well.
Oh, yeah.
That's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, like, and that's the thing is, like, the grandfather in real life, he passed away. And so when they reintroduced him, I think it was that at the end of the second episode, right?
Yeah.
He, like, you could tell that was genuine emotion, like, he of him seeing the Doctor. You know what I mean? Like, of seeing David Tennant, you know?
Yeah.
Because then, like, after that, like, even when they do the final episode, they just mention him, and I think he'd already passed away at that point.
Yeah.
And that's why I didn't actually have him in that last shot. And stuff, and but that was beautiful too. Like, this is like why you know to think, like, this is why we do the things that we do for the peacetime, right? Like,
yeah,
I, you know, fight the fights, I do the battles so that we can have the peacetime, and now I get to enjoy
but it. even at the end, they still hint, well, you know, sometimes you still gotta sneak off.
Yeah.
Kind of make it like a Rick and Morty type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're enjoying the life, but then, like, I would say the earlier seasons where he just kind of sneaks off.
Yeah.
Does his thing and then comes back.
Mm-hmm. So,
but more subtle.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But, I mean, if you're not into Doctor Who, I strongly suggest it. Yes, it is campy. I don't even know if you can watch the old episodes, because when I watched it, they had, like, some that they redid on Netflix, like the first Doctor, I think, like the first episode at least, and then some of the two, and then building up. I didn't watch a lot, like, I know a lot of people are all about the Troy Baker, and I think I had it on, like, in the background.
Oh, Tom Baker,
yeah.
He's Baker, all right.
But my first one was Eccleston, and then once I got caught up, I went back, and then I think I was up to, like, Matt Smith. I think Matt Smith's great. I love his.
Netflix didn't actually include all the episodes either.
Yeah.
Like, I think HBO I think Max has, like...
Most of them. Okay.
The one that did the best, unfortunately, was before Max, and they had it on Prime.
Okay.
They had, like, a way better collection. But Max still has a really good collection. I think the best classic run is probably John Pertwee.
Yeah.
From start to finish, it's great. And that was actually who introduced the Master as well.
Oh, okay.
Was John Pertwee. Because the idea was, well, what if Doctor Who's like Sherlock Holmes? Then he needs a Moriarty.
Mm-hmm.
And that was their answer to, like, do a Moriarty was the Master.
Right. And then
with the Third Doctor, yeah, he's a hero and everything, but he's an asshole. He really is a genuine asshole. Not very approachable or likable.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, what if we do the Master as evil, but he's very likable and approachable? Where if you talk to the two, you'd probably think the Master was the good guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was kind of how they had it play out.
Yeah, I liked him because he was kind of like the James Bond of all of them.
He had a jet ski chase with the Master.
Mm-hmm. Like, in just the way he acts and the way he does things, you know, so great. But well, yeah, all of them are great.
The actor is actually the reason why Doctor Who is still around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he didn't do the revival or anything, but basically, after the series ended, he kept getting letters of people wanting more Doctor Who, and he used his connections to start, like, the audiobooks.
Oh, okay.
Like, the Big Finish audiobooks were all originated from him, and he really, like, he kept getting more and more people involved. And that just kind of kept it going. And then eventually they tried the TV movie that we don't talk about. Russell T. Davies did the Eccleston.
Yeah.
And it took off.
Yeah, yeah. That was my first one. He's my favorite one. But yeah, then that's what I was talking about. Me and this other guy from work were telling this other guy about Doctor Who. And we're like, it's campy. Like, the visuals are kind of cheesy, at least until they get to Matt Smith. But each they can continue it because he regenerates, they can use a different actor, and they're slightly different. They have some personality traits of the previous, but they kind of have like a new thing going on. And so it's just great how they build on this legacy. It's really cool how they do it. So that's how we talked about it. But yeah, I strongly suggest Doctor Who to anyone, really, especially into sci-fi. You love time travel, you love history, you love, you know, alien stuff. Like, it's all over the place, and I love that.
Yeah, and if you watch the older ones, you like Sarah Jane Smith. She has her own series, too, that went on. And it only got canceled for one unfortunate reason. The actress who played her died. But they had no intention on actually canceling the show anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they even had her team up with Matt Smith.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember that. That was awesome. So what do you give this series, the special?
All right, I give it a must watch. And remember, for sure, Doctor will be back on Christmas.
Yes, we still have the Christmas special. So, yeah, and that's what we always look forward to, Christmas specials. I'm not sure about this new Doctor. We'll see. I'm willing to check it out. I'm looking forward to it. I like him
so far.
So he's different for sure.
he seems fun.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But yeah, so we'll check it out. And we're going to do a quick fan cast because we've got a suggestion to do a fan cast, an X-Men fan cast. So I'm going to go over my X-Men fan cast and we can chat about it. And now, mind you, this is my dream fan cast. This isn't reality, right? Like, this isn't something that can realistically be done. So I have Professor X, Mark Strong. Right? Like, he had the bald look. He's younger. Yeah, I know what's his name's perfect, but Mark Strong's younger. If we would go with a younger, and he looks, you know, fit and everything. Oh, that's what he has a good voice, too. He has a good. Oh, why? What's yours?
Oh, Walter White for the win.
Nice. He could.
I could see him, like, pull out. The only problem with Bryan Cranston is he doesn't really have a British accent.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure he could try. I'd be interested to see if he could do one. Then for Magneto, like I said, we can't get this guy because he passed away. But I thought, after seeing Ahsoka, I was like, this guy would have been perfect as Magneto. He's big. He's this towering dude. And then to see him, like, floating and, like, he has the voice, the bravado. Like, dude, he could have brought it, man. Oh, my gosh. He would have been perfect. Because, like, I love Ian McKellen. So, yeah, I just, you know, from the comics and from the cartoon, he's this jacked, broad-shouldered, tall, you know, dude. And I just think...
Who I would have loved, perfect. Unfortunately, is no longer with us.
Hmm.
I believe his name is Christopher Lee. Oh. He's the guy who played Dooku and Saruman.
Yes.
He would have been so cool. Like, just the way he talks would be like a really good Magneto. And like, if he could get like a German accent, would be even better.
Oh, for sure. That would be great. That would be a great one. For Jean Grey, I have Julianne Moore. I don't know if she's a natural redhead, but she looks like it. Obviously, now she's too old, but I feel like back in her prime, like, she would have been perfect. She has the attitude. She has the voice, I feel like. She's, like, that perfect... Like, where Jean isn't, like, super hot, but obviously when she goes Dark Phoenix, then she's mega hot. But, like, just normally you're like, yeah, she's, like, your average chick. And that's, like, she's pretty. I'm not saying she's not beautiful, but she's not the hottest chick on the squad.
Oh, yeah, that would have been my mistake. who I would choose.
Okay.
Karen Gillan.
Oh, dude.
But the problem is, she would be...
way too hot.
The hottest one on the squad. There's just no competition with that.
Yeah.
Unless you wanted to include Miss Sparkles, trying to think of her name.
Taylor Swift?
Jubilee.
Oh.
Yeah, then you could have Mila Kunis as Jubilee.
I never thought of that. That's an interesting
one. She could look the part.
She could.
Very easily.
For Wolverine, I have Bob Hoskins. To me, my idea of the ideal Wolverine is a short, stocky dude that's hairy. He's mean. He's rude. The way he is in Who Frames Roger Rabbit, do that. But give him, like, you know, the hair and everything else, he'd be perfect.
Bob Hoskins, huh?
Yes.
I like that. You know what? I was going to say Danny DeVito.
Oh, not bad. I would like him to be Puck or something like that.
Yeah. Or, you know what? They could still make this happen. You know what? Redeem MODOK with Danny DeVito.
Yeah, that would be funny. That would be really
because
funny.
Because he does funny really well.
Mm.
But his funny's great because he's always so serious. Mm. But the way he delivers it is so good.
Oh, for sure.
Which would be perfect for MODOK, because my issue with MODOK is they don't have these people playing him seriously. Mm. But, like, MODOK is a funny character, but he's also, like, the way he sees himself, he's super serious.
Right.
And so, like, Danny DeVito could pull that off.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Cyclops, I have Jensen Ackles. He's a big dude. I love his voice in The Boys. I mean, even his supernatural stuff, I feel like he has that good leader type. He's handsome. Like, I feel like he fits the mold from the cartoon, right? Like, that dude. So that's who I would go with.
Younger. Let's put it this way. It would have been a younger Leonardo DiCaprio.
Okay.
Pre-R-rated movies.
Huh.
Like Titanic.
Okay.
Era.
Interesting.
He would be cool.
Okay. And then for Beast, I couldn't come up with anybody better than Kelsey Grammer. Like, can you? Like, I was thinking of, like, big dudes that could fit that, and I'm like, you know, John Cena has a goofy, like, beastly build, but he doesn't have the rest of the Beast with him. I don't think he could pull it off, you know? Like, there's other people I was trying to think of that, like, is there anybody that's, like, jacked and looks beastly, but has that same, like, they seem brilliant, you know what I mean? Like that. So, I don't know. I can't think of anybody better than Kelsey Grammer. I can't.
Yeah, that's a tough one, because he is, like, the perfect character for Beast. Just the way he talks and everything really sounds like the way you would hear Beast
right,
talk
exactly.
In real life.
So, speaking of having the voice, I know she's already in the MCU. And once again, like I said, this is just a dream fan cast, but I think Angela Bassett would be perfect as Storm. She has the voice, you know, especially like if you would have gotten her, you know, her younger, like I said, this is pretty much like everybody kind of like in their prime. Well, no, I mean, Ray Stevenson, but yeah, I think Angela Bassett would have been perfect, you know, because I was even looking up like newer actors and I was like, I can't find anybody that would be better, you know? So that's going to be a tough one to do better than I think Angela Bassett would be.
I would go out on a limb on this one.
Okay.
Maybe got to do some makeup to darken her up a little bit. Rosario Dawson.
Interesting. I mean, like I said, I you have to have the African accent. You know,
yeah.
Angela Bassett can do it. I don't know if Rosario Dawson has the chops. We'd have to find out.
Yeah.
And then, or Egyptian, right? Because wasn't she like in Egypt? But yeah, anyways. Rogue. This one is a hard one for me. But I ended up with Alexandra Daddario. Because, like, I was like, who's a brunette? And, like, I was trying, and I'm like, she has the build. I think she could pull, like, she's a solid actress. I think if she threw on the Southern accent, I think even now, to this day, she would be perfect.
I got a better one for you.
Okay.
Anna Hendricks. Top solid actor, knows how to play character. She's done action roles.
Okay.
And she pulls it off. You wouldn't think so because she looks so sweet and innocent, but that's still kind of like what you kind of see with Rogue.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're thinking, oh, she's not going to be that tough. And then she ends up being tough.
The little girl, right? From Pitch Perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't know why I was thinking of...
Scott Pilgrim's sister.
Okay, yeah. Okay, that makes sense. I was thinking of, what's the lady? She was in Firefly, and then she was like the bad girls. I forget, but yeah, I was thinking of her, and I was like, no, she would be a better Jean. But anyways, yeah, she actually could be really good. But I also feel like she could pull off, like, Shadow Cat.
She could do that, too.
But I have someone different from Shadow Cat, but she's already in the MCU, which is, she plays, Katie Hawkeye. I saw her in Transformers, and she even had, like, a similar jacket in Bumblebee, and I was like, she would be perfect as Kitty Pryde. But yeah, she would be, but Anna Kendrick would actually really be good too. So yeah. Man, these are great ones. Gambit, I'm going to go with Austin Butler. He played Elvis. He has like that. He has that Southern drawl. Like, I think if he focused more, I couldn't think of anybody else really that could pull it off.
You know who might pull it off? Daryl Dixon. He does have the Southern accent, and he can grow his hair out to actually be like...
Like, if you were to get a young him, yes, I could totally see him in it, for sure. Yeah, definitely, dude. That would be...
I don't know why I can't think of his name right now.
But, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a good one, actually.
Because think of Boondocks.
Mm-hmm.
And then putting him in from there.
Oh, yeah, for sure, dude. I think he would have so much fun with a role like that.
Yeah.
But, so, I, Emma Frost, Natalie Dormer. From Game of Thrones. She was also actually already in the MCU as a very small part in Captain America First Avenger. But yeah, Natalie Dormer. Gorgeous.
Emilia Clarke.
British. You know what? I think my wife might have said that too. And I was like, you know what? She's cute, but I don't think she's hot enough. But that's just me personally. So, moving on. Psylocke. I would go with Zhang Ziyi. If we're going with the... With like, well, because there's different versions, right? There's the British one, and then she transfers her mind into the Asian one. So I was like, there's different versions. So I guess I should have come up with two different ones, because British, like, you know, it's that one's tougher for me. But yeah, Zhang Ziyi is my, I guess, the Asian one. You know, when she transfers her mind into the Asian chick, I don't know. But yeah, and then. Mystique, I have Rosamund Pike, because I was like, who is someone who's just like a psycho bee? You know, like, in my mind, I was like, that could just pull that off. And that's her. She did that one movie with Ben Affleck where she was, like, the wife and she faked her own death. So she was a psycho bee, and she knocked it out in that.
I would have done Mary Weinstein. Weinstein, is that her name? Ramona from...
Ramona, really? From Mystique?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Because she plays a lot of different roles.
Yeah.
Like, you know, she's actually has parts in horror movies, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see. Then we have Apocalypse. I would go with The Rock, dude. Just because he has the build. You do the makeup. You do the suit right. I think if he does the attitude right, he could do it. You know, like, it would be very different from him. But, I mean, you'd probably have to alter his voice a little bit. Not huge, but just a tad. So he has that, you know, thing. But I think he could pull it off.
Or just leave the voice.
Yeah, I mean, if he can bring it, do just his regular voice. If he can bring it, for sure. This one's kind of just wild and out there. Which I said for Toad, Jack Black. Just because, like, I've seen, like, a portly looking Toad. It's just, like, goofy. You know, does this, like, the spitting globits. But, yeah. I don't know. That was just random.
Jack Black for Toad.
Yeah. I don't know. It was random. Haley Steinfeld. That's her name for Kitty Pryde. Iceman. He's not well known. He's not a well known actor, but he's Dacre Montgomery. He has that like rich boy, or not rich boy, but you know, just I personally like the what they've done in the comics with Iceman, where they go like, oh, he's gay, you know, and he's just discovering it, whatever. Because the relationships he's had in the comics, dude, like, he overdoes it. Like, the way he talks to chicks, you're like, dude, this isn't how normal dudes talk and act towards chicks. Like, this is over the top. This is how a gay guy would act towards a chick that was trying to act straight. You know what I mean? Like, his whole time in comics. And so I was like, that dude, like, he's young, he has a look, I think he would pull it off. And then moving straight into that, Archangel, Lucas Till, I'm like, he has to be like an uppity rich white kid, but it's also still nice and sweet, you know?
Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah.
Free drugs.
Obviously. Like, yeah, that works. For Mr. Sinister, I have Javier Bardem. He's been a great villain so many times, dude. I think he could pull that off. He has this great accent. I think he could do it.
David Tennant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
He does good villains.
Yeah. And then this is the last one I have. Sebastian Shaw. James Frain for Sebastian Shaw. So the more you dwindle down, that you're going more obscure. Yeah. So it's kind of like harder. Well, hopefully we'll have like reference pictures, because even I don't remember exactly some of these because I had to search hard for these. But yeah, so that's it there. Someone also wanted a little insight on the Rise of the Beast G.I. Joe crossover. Now that the strikes are over, I think they will be moving forward with that. I don't know if we're going to, because I have read reports that they're going to be going forward. I don't know in what capacity. I don't know if the Wayans brothers are going to be in this one. They're coming back. Or if The Rock's coming back. I'd love The Rock in the G.I. Joe movies. The later ones, I thought that were pretty solid. I would love to see a crossover with the two. But the way that they did, like, the end of the most recent Rise of the Beasts, they had a similar suit that they did in the other G.I. Joe movies, and that's why it seemed like it was going that way, but then they kind of undid that. So, I don't know. It's confusing. We'll see if it actually fully happens. I think it'll go forward now that the strikes are over, so we'll see. But, yeah.
I mean, I would rather see them team up with Kiss. the Transformers with Kiss would be way cooler.
Okay.
You know, Kiss has teamed up with just about everyone.
Yeah, right?
Even the Ninja Turtles.
and that's crazy.
Martians. They fought the Martians, too, in Mars Attacks.
That's wild. So, we are rocking our merch, like...
The finest merchandise this time I've ever shown on sale today. Come on down. Look at this. Yes. Combination hookah and coffee maker. Also makes chili and fries. Will not break. Will not... It broke. Oh, look at this. I have never seen one of these intact before. This is the famous Dead Sea Tupperware. Listen. Ah, still good.
This is individually made, so you can get something made like this. Not exactly, because Slay J actually made this for me, which was really sweet. We need to get one made for the Ambassador. I've been wanting to make one for the Ambassador that has like the Nintendo-style logo with it, and we need to get all of his thing. I mean, he's rocking the TMNT you know, with the original colors right now, that's our design. But you can get stuff just like this. And same thing, like the similar with the shorts, like these are basketball sports shorts. Like you can get the same stuff on our website. Check it out at tntmtheshow.com. Right now for our merch of the month, we have Doctor Who, Indiana Jones, probably going to throw in some Pokemon and that stuff. The actual stuff that says Talking to Me, that stuff, $17.99, free shipping as well, since it's merch of the month. And then, and Doctor Who stuff. And we're adding stuff throughout the month. So keep on checking out the website for new stuff all month long. And then we'll probably do one more podcast where we just round off what we, our favorite stuff of the year. Favorite game, favorite movie, favorite show. And
maybe not have Spider-Man 2 get, like, denied everything.
Yeah, we'll see. So, but yeah, I think that's it for us, right?
Yeah.
Talk nerdy to me.
Stay nerdy, Flash.